Thanks, guys. So if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, guys, my name is Trey Green. I am the next generation pastor here at Delaware Christian Church. I'm sure it sounds really different with me being up here, someone that knows how to speak English and no crazy accent. But really, I'm honored and I'm super excited to be here, guys, with you this morning. I want to thank you for joining us this morning for worship, especially if you're a first-time guest. Yeah, you could have went anywhere and you chose to be here at Delaware Christian Church worshiping us with us this morning. We're just super excited that you chose to be here, and I hope that I get a chance to meet you, if not today, very soon. Also, I want to send out a special thank you real quick before we get started to you as the church body. As the next generation pastor, I get to see the way you guys step up and the way you guys support and just shower your students with support and prayers. And it's really an amazing thing to watch. You know, just last night, we had a handful of our students come back from a two-day trip down to Cincinnati to CIY Believe. That the students and the four adults that chaperone that. Last week, we had our second annual Valentine's dinner fundraiser for our high school students that will be attending CIY this coming summer. Guys, we had over 70, oh, close to 70 people here last Sunday night. It really was, yeah, absolutely. It was an amazing time. The students worked their tails off. The leaders worked their tails off. It seemed like everybody had a great time. We had a great dinner. We played some games. And just to see the church step up and support, it's just really an amazing sight. So for that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, also from our students, from our leaders, and from our church. So before we get started, let's go ahead and open it up in prayer, and we'll dive right in. Dear God, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, for bringing each and every single person that is here in this room today to this church, God. They are here for a reason. We pray that their hearts are open, their ears are open, and that they're able to hear what you're trying to place on their heart today, God. I thank you for the church. I thank you for the volunteers. I thank you for the members. I thank you for the visitors, God. Because as one, we all come together and glorify you. So I just thank you for everything you do. I thank you for the love that you show us. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been in this series that we're calling All In. Just a couple of weeks ago, Sam spoke about God's love for us and how he's an all-in kind of God. Last week, he talked about what it means to know God and how we can be all in when it comes to knowing God. Today, we're going to talk about our love toward God. What can we do to be all in when it comes to loving God completely? And then next week, I really want to encourage you back as we wrap up the series. Sam and that crazy accent will be back. And we're going to talk about what it means to be all in when it comes to following God. So I really encourage you guys to come back. It's going to be pretty great. So with that being said, I want to ask you all a question today. What is the biggest expression of love that you have shown towards someone? Really think about it. It could be anyone. A parent, a spouse, a child, a friend. It can be absolutely anyone. I was talking this over with my wife, and we were talking about our years that we've been together. And Kristen, she went to school in Oklahoma for college. So we were in a long-distance relationship about 14 hours away as we were dating, and even once we were engaged. And we were talking about the nights that we would spend, countless nights, that we would spend hours upon hours on the phone together just talking. Now, if you know me at all, I've got some family in the room, so they can attest to this. If it gets between 9 and 9:30 at night, and I'm not getting ready for bed, you guys better watch out, because I can get grumpy sometimes. So what we remember is we would stay up till 11 or 12 or even 1 o'clock in the morning sometimes, just talking about anything. Now, to me, that is a great expression of love, to give up my personal bedtime for some girl 14 hours away. Another weekend stuck out to us in particular. My family has a car dealership, and they had bought a vehicle that was located in Oklahoma. So I found out about this vehicle on Thursday, and so I had planned a surprise trip to see Kristen that next Saturday. And I got off work on Saturday afternoon, flew to Oklahoma, got there just before dinner time, kind of. Her roommate picked me up from the airport, got me back to her apartment just before it was time to go eat dinner. So I got to spend just a few hours with Kristen at dinner. I got it the next morning. I picked up a car, and I made the 14-hour drive all the way back to Ohio so I could be at work on Monday morning. So all this within about 30 hours of each other, Oklahoma and all the way back. All this came out of love. So what is it for you? What kind of expression of love have you given to someone that has shown that you are all in? Maybe for you it's planning a perfect weekend away or buying that perfect gift that they've always wanted. Maybe your person is your child. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, my daughter's two, and I found myself sleeping on her floor right up next to her toddler bed using this like giant stuffed frog as a pillow. What kind of expression of love have you shown to your child that is shown to them that you are all in? Maybe it's a parent. You didn't buy anything crazy. You didn't plan this extravagant weekend. Chances are you didn't sleep on their floor when they were scared. But you used your words. You were able to clearly communicate to your parents just how much you love them. You were able to say exactly what they needed to hear that completely conveyed your love for them. You see, whoever it is, we've all expressed our love to someone that sometimes goes above and beyond. It's a way that we were able to show those that we care about that we are indeed all in when it comes to our love for them. So let me ask you, what does it look like to love God? What does it look like to love God completely? I mean, what does it look like to show God that you are indeed all in when it comes to your love for him? This thought of loving God so dearly and more completely, it seems like an absolutely no-brainer, right? I mean, as a Christian, we are raised to love God. But how many times have we been taught what that looks like? How many times have we been taught what it looks like to love God completely, to show him that we are indeed all in? You know, even though this idea, it seems like a no-brainer, I think a lot of us in this room today, it kind of seems like a foreign subject too, right? I mean, God, he's unlike anyone else here on earth. He's unlike any other relationship you have. You can't see God each and every single day. So what steps can you take to love God more completely? We're going to be in Mark 12 here in just a second, so if you'd like to turn there. We're going to pick up Mark 12, and we're going to pick up at a story where a Pharisee or a teacher of the law comes up to Jesus, and he kind of puts him on the spot a little bit, kind of asks him a question, says, you know, hey, of all the commands, of everything that we're told to do, what's the most important? So he answers in Mark 12, 29 through 31. You can see it on the screens. He says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The sermon today, it proved to be kind of difficult for me to write. And for the longest time, I could not come up with a reason why it was so hard. I mean, if we look at Mark, it's really straightforward, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So I just started to think back in my life. I started to think back on how I have loved God and how I've shown that love to God over time. And it became really apparent to me that I had not taken full advantage of my life. For the longest time, I had not taken the opportunity that I had been given to show God love and to show him that I love him completely. You see, as a kid, I would attend church on and off. I would go to youth group a couple times a month, maybe. I'd never be there every week. And then I got into high school as a teenager. I would attend FCA, or Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I would be there just about every single week. And man, I loved God. Or I thought I loved God then. And I did. I really did love God. When I was at FCA, when I was around friends who believed. I really loved God when I was around family or family that believed. Then I remember shortly after I graduated high school, a family member and I were talking, and they had said, "You know, I always pictured you working for a church." And that was really funny, and I kind of laughed to myself on the inside because I had them thinking that the way that I lived, that the way that I spoke, that the way that I acted all the time was an expression of loving God completely. But what this family member of mine didn't know is that same time we're having this conversation, my mind's over here thinking about how I'm probably going to go get drunk this weekend, or there's a good chance I'm going to be getting high. You see, there's a hole, there's a void in my life, and I tried to fill it with drinking or smoking or partying. Luckily for me, it wasn't much time after that, or many more dumb decisions later, that I finally started to realize that the way I was living was not benefiting anyone at all. There was a hole that wasn't being filled. That's when I made the decision that something had to change. You see, I was loving God when it was convenient. I was loving God when I was around family, when I was around my FCA friends, when I was at FCA camp. That's when I was loving God. I was loving God when I thought that it would benefit me. Now looking back, I realized I was given the full instructions on how to live a life full of blessings and full of hope and full of love. To do this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. You must be all in. So what does that look like? Again, when I think of loving God, I try to compare it as much as you can to loving someone here. Everyone in this room has someone they love. Whether it's a spouse, a friend, the parent, the child. I know you've all thought about somebody that you love. How do you show that person love? Like I mentioned earlier, mine was my wife. Now, you'll know if you're married, you'll know what I mean that I say, I love my wife more than anyone else in this world. But that does not mean it is extremely hard sometimes to show her that love. It's extremely hard sometimes to show her the love that she so much deserves. It can be a lot of work on my part to show her that love that I have for her, to give her what she wants or what she needs, to fully understand the love that I have. And you see, God is no different. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying God makes it difficult on us to love him. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to love God completely, it can be a lot of work. I mean, you have to constantly be pursuing God. You have to constantly be pursuing your relationship with him. In high school, I had the chance to ask out the girl of my dreams on a date. For some reason, I was lucky she said yes. And then a few days later, Saturday rolled around, and I had gotten a text. This girl had some lame excuse as to why she could not go on a date with me. But for the next several years, I was able to pursue little by little. She finally said yes to another date, and now she's my wife. In the same way, your relationship with God cannot be a one-time expression of love. You have to constantly be pursuing him. You have to be all in when it comes to showing God the love that you have for him. So what can we do to love God more completely? What can we do to show him that we are in fact all in? I think it comes down to three things or three steps that we can look at when it comes to showing God more love. Actions, words, and relationships. Let's start talking about actions. When you love someone, what are some things or actions that you can do to show love? Planning a date night with a spouse? Maybe you make sure to kiss your spouse and your kids every single morning and every single night. Maybe you show love to them by helping with household chores. You show love to that neighbor by inviting them over for dinner. Maybe you show love to your child by just spending time with them, just being there, just playing their favorite game with them. I think you show God love through actions as well. God wants to see actions. He wants to see you doing things that will ultimately honor his name. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now, this really seems like a really simple task, doesn't it? If you love me, just keep my commands. Just do what I'm telling you to do. What commands? What is he talking about here? Have no gods. Have no other gods. Don't have idols. Don't take his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your parents. Don't murder, commit adultery, or steal. Don't bear false witness, and don't covet. But do you remember what we looked at earlier today in Mark? When the teacher asked Jesus, which command is the most important? Do you remember what he said there? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Also, love your neighbor as yourself. There's none greater than these. There's none greater than these. Because if you can live a life as described here in Mark, if you can love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor, you love other people as yourself, then all these other commandments, everything else he says, should just fall right in place, right? So one way we can love God more completely through our actions is by keeping his commands, just do what he's telling us to do. Another act we can take is the action of worship. Psalm 100, 1 and 2 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Did you guys catch how that verse started out? It said, "Shout for joy." Shout for joy. This is telling us to be loud, but not only just be loud, but worship with gladness in your heart, with joyful songs. Look at the book of Psalms. I mean, David wrote most of this book as worship and praise and prayers as he went through his life. And you'll notice if you read through the book that David didn't just write this down and didn't just do these actions when everything was going right in his life. He continued to do this even when things really weren't going his way. You see, he continued to love God with everything he had. Psalm 63:3-5. Says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." And then Psalm 134:2 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." This is saying, don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed to lift your hands in praise. Reach for the heavens. Connect with God. Allow him to fill you. But worship is so much more than just singing. It's so much more than just shouting loud with gladness in our hearts, right? Part of our worship comes at a time of giving as well. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, it's not by coincidence that our time of offering comes in the midst of our time of worship here at DCC. Look at Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But here's a really cool thing. God's not telling us that we must give back everything that he's blessed us with. No. God's just asking that you give back to him just a portion of what he has already blessed each and every single one of us with. He is asking you to give just a portion of what he's given us in order to reach more people in his name. So how are we able to love God more completely? We use actions. We love God with everything in us, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We can worship him through song and through giving. We can worship him with gladness in our hearts. We can shout his name to the ends of the earth. But that's just one way we can love God more completely. We can also do this through our words. Now, words can be a very tricky thing, though, sometimes, right? I mean, words sometimes tend to leave our mouths before we can fully think about what we're saying. I mean, how many times or how many people has ever said something to someone or to even God himself that you wish you could take back? I mean, whether out of anger, frustration, all of us has been in that situation before. With our words, once they're said, they're out there for all to hear. They've already started to make an impact in one way or another, James 3 is a great reminder of why words are so important and the impact that they have on the big picture. James 3, 4 through 5 says, take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. What does it mean to boast? One definition that I found says, to boast is to talk with excessive pride. To talk about one's just very own achievements and possessions. You see, your tongue, your words, can make a big difference. It's just a short amount of time. It's just a short amount of work. But let me ask you, how are you using these words? Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Again, pick up just about any chapter in the book of Psalms, and you'll see over and over and over again how words can be used to love God. Confessing love, singing, praising, praying. The whole book is absolutely filled with examples of how you can use your words to love God more. One of the many ways we can use our words to love God more completely is through our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a great verse. I'm really bad at memorizing verses, so this is really good for me. It's just two words, but it's such a powerful verse that says so much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. That's it. How do you show God love? Pray continually. How do you love God more? Pray continually. Notice this verse does not say, pray when things are going good in your life. It does not say, pray when you're struggling or pray when you're in need. This verse does not say, pray at dinner time or at bedtime. It simply states to pray continually, all the time, always pray. Prayer is a powerful tool that we can use to connect to God each and every single day. You know, the great thing about prayer is there's no right or wrong way to do it, but it has to be done respectfully. Prayer is an intimate conversation between you and God. You can be real with God. Here's the thing, God already knows what you're going to say. He already knows what you've done, and he already knows what you're going to do. Being real, being honest with God is the way that we need to pray correctly. This is possible because you already have a history with God. Prayer is communication between you and him. Think of your relationships here. Maybe your spouse or your best friend. What happens if you get to know these people more in your life? You want to spend more and more time with them, right? You just want to spend time and you want to talk to them more and more. You can be real. You feel like you can tell them anything. Prayer is the same exact way. You can do it all the time. It doesn't have to be this huge formal event. You can talk to God when things are going good. You can talk to God when things are going bad. You can talk to God when just nothing's going on at all. You can use your prayers to thank God for everything that he's ever blessed you with. You can use your prayers to ask God to help you with something you might be struggling with. But most importantly, you can use your prayers as an everyday open communication line between you and God. God loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to tell him what's going on. And he wants to be there for you no matter what you might be going through, the good or the bad. Prayer is a tool that we can use to build our relationship with God and to love him even more. And we need to take full advantage of this tool that we've been given. So we can use worship. We've talked about loving God through our songs with gladness in our hearts, shouting loud for all to hear, hands raised to the heavens. We've discussed how giving is a form of worship. And we're told to give back to God just a very small portion of what he's already blessed us with. Words. Prayer can help us to continue to love God more completely and on a deeper level. I think all that we've already talked about today kind of adds up, kind of builds up to the very last point. To love God more completely, we need to really focus on our relationship. Not only do we need to focus on a relationship with God, but we need to take a really good look at our relationships with other people as well. 1 John 4, 20 and 21 says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Do you remember a little earlier in the sermon where we read Mark? Do you remember what that said? The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, we are made to love God, but it's also very black and white that we're made to love other people as well. You cannot love God completely with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength if you don't follow the rest of his word and do the rest of what he's telling you to do. We cannot love him completely. We cannot be all in if we don't love other people as well. Although when it talks about loving your neighbor, it's not talking about that person you're sitting next to you right now in church, because that would be too easy, wouldn't it? You know, this is talking about those people that you don't get along with. That maybe that boss at work that you really can't stand. Maybe it's that friend of yours that stabbed you in the back. It's talking about those people that you see at the grocery store so you alter which aisle you're going down. That's the people it's talking about here. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, Sam was talking about the stewardship of the gospel? How we have a duty as Christians to spread that gospel. That it's our job here on earth. And if you were here during our community worship night, you heard Mike, the speaker for that night, he asked a really good question. He says, you know, once you give your life to Christ, why doesn't he take you right then and there to be with him in heaven? And he had a really good point that went along really well with the message that Sam had brought us. You see, as a Christian, we need to love our neighbors. We need to love other people as ourselves. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And that is where our responsibility comes in. That's why we're still here. We are told to go out and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we love God completely, we must make it our mission to spread the gospel. When you give your life to Christ, you're making a statement. You're making a statement that you're going to take what you've been given and you're going to find a way to give it to other people. No matter if you like them or not, no matter if it's that boss, that friend, or that person at the grocery store, you're making a statement that you're going to find a way to give this to them. It's not your job to decide whether they get into heaven or not. But it is an act of love to show them the way to God. It is an act of love to give them the tools that they need to make their own decision. If we're to love God completely, with everything in us, isn't imitation the greatest form of flattery? I mean, you've all heard that before. You see, he led a life that we should all strive to be like. Now, I know none of us here are perfect, and none of us ever will be perfect. But should we not strive to do our best? Should we not strive to live a life that when other people look at us, they can tell that we're living for something so much greater than ourselves? If you want to love God more completely, do what he has asked you to do. Love him and love other people. And I know this sounds really difficult to do when you're talking about that boss or that old friend or that person at the grocery store. But it has to be done. And I'm not asking for you guys to do something that God himself didn't do first. I mean, look at 1 John 4:19. It says, "We love because he first loved us." Did we deserve that love? You see, God could have loved anything he wanted. He created everything, and everything was good. But God sent his son, his one and only perfect son, to this earth to die for our sins. He did this because he was all in when it comes to loving us. We love Because he first loved us. God doesn't love when it's just convenient. It is an all the time, all in kind of love. We too must be all in when it comes to loving God completely. So as the worship team comes up, let me ask you this. If someone were to examine your actions, if someone were to listen to your words, what would they say? If a stranger followed you around for just one day and witnessed everything you did and everything that you said, would they say that you are all in when it comes to loving God completely? Does the way you act, does the way you speak prove to those around you that you love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? Are you all in when it comes to loving God? You see, maybe today is the day that you want to take that very first step to loving God completely. You want to take that very first step with a public acknowledgement, and you want to be baptized. We'll be down here in front to help you every step of the way if that's something that you wish to do. Maybe you don't have a church home right now. See, Delaware Christian Church would love for you to become part of our home. Delaware Christian Church is a church that loves God, and it's a church that loves people. And we would love for you to be a part of that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you again so much for your words, God. I thank you so much for the love that you give us. God, I just pray that as we go through this week, that we're able to connect with you on a deeper level, that we're able to use our actions and our words and our prayers and our relationships around us to better love you more completely, God. I just thank you for giving us the opportunity to love you. I pray for these people in this church today, God, that their hearts are open, that we are a church that loves God completely. I thank you for everything you do. I thank you for the love that you show us. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.